How many of you have felt like you've felt the presence of the Lord sometime this week? That in your life you've spent enough time, and I have a quote from Brother Branham here that I read. It said, when you go to thinking about Him, that's when He appears. When talking about Him, when He appears, and that's the reason maybe He doesn't appear to so many of us. We talk too much about other things instead of about the Lord. Maybe we're talking about trading cars or something else, or the washing, or what kind of soap powder do you use. Listening to the radio and some kind of nonsense. That's the reason He doesn't appear. Amen. If we just keep our minds on Him, let the meditation of my heart. And folks, you know, you don't even have to be talking. But if you just think about the Lord, yes, we're promised that He'd come near us. Draw nigh to God and He will draw nigh to you. Yes. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. And I thought of the comment I made last Sunday morning and night about Granddaddy Wirtz's dream of saying, "Boo at the devil." How simple that is. But Brother Branham told us that for a purpose. Don't let Satan defeat you. All you got to do is just remember that the Word says you resist him and he'll flee from you. Brother Branham said the devil trembles when the weakest saint goes to their knees. And in this dream that Granddaddy Wirtz had, he just said, "Boo." And the enemy got smaller and he got bigger. And he said, just finally he got courage to start shouting, "Boo," and said, it just went away. So don't be discouraged. Don't be despondent. Don't give up hope. Amen. He that is in you is greater than he that's in this world. I was given a quote a couple of weeks ago from that tape, "He That Is In You." It's 1963, November the 10th. Brother Brown preached it in Jeffersonville. And I appreciate Brother Reuben for giving me this. You know, last Sunday or Sunday before, I spoke about sometimes it's hard as a pastor for us to stand and tell you something because we know it's going to hurt some people. We know there are going to be some people offended by it. But we have to have courage to say it anyway. It's like when I was down in Daphne, Alabama 3 years ago, and I was speaking to those people down there that they had invited me to come and tell them about Brother Branham, and they gave me the opportunity to remove the stigmatism from Brother Branham's name and ministry and the experiences he had. And I'm telling them the seven visions, or the seven events that the vision he saw of the seven prophetic things he saw. And one of them was, he said, they've done a very evil thing in this country. They've given the women the right to vote. Well, now that's what Brother Branham said. But then I added to it and I said, you know, you wonder what could be evil about a woman voting. Well, the truth is, and I asked those people down there in Alabama, about 12 or 1300 of them, I said, just stop and think for a moment that if the women of America did not have the right to vote, we will not have abortion in this country. And I held up the front cover of a magazine that showed an article that said that there have been 38 million babies aborted in America. Now it's over 50 or 60 million. But I held that up. Well, I never had the foresight to think that probably 50% of those ladies in front of me had abortions. So that was very offensive to them. It hurt them. And when we went to lunch and we came back that afternoon about 2:30 or 3 o'clock, I was met at the door by six or seven of them. And they were telling me that they had called their husbands at home, and one of them's husband had spent the entire afternoon on the internet, and he had all the negative things about Brother Branham. One of them written by a former deacon of this church. and they began to tell me these things. And, you know, hey, it's pretty hard to come against somebody when they got something. Somebody said this, and Brother Bram said this, and didn't happen. I brought up about 77 and anything else that they could find that looked like a mistake or an error. The date of the cloud and things of that nature. And boy, they've got them all in there. And just like that, I felt like the Lord helped me. And I said, now sisters, and I called them sisters, even though they didn't look like sisters. Amen. But I called them what I want them to be.
Amen.
And I said, now, do you know any of those people that your husband's read those articles from on the internet? They said, no. I said, well, do you know me? They said, well, we heard you today. I said, now, you're standing here and you claim to be Spirit-filled. And you heard me today in the spirit of which I brought this, and I'm standing here with you right now. What does the Spirit inside of you say about me to you?
Amen.
Do you want to believe what I say about Brother Branham, or do you want to believe somebody that you don't even know? That maybe has a motive for writing. I said, because I don't want to judge them either, but you don't know them. And the Scripture does say, know those that labor among you. I said, now tell me, what does the Spirit inside of you say to you now about what I said? And every one of them said, well, we believe you told us the truth. I says, well then, search the Scriptures.
Amen.
In case these things be so. I think sometimes we try to make this so personal with it, you know, but I started all this by telling you that the brother gave me this quote and told me that it might encourage me, but listen to how Brother Branham struggled with this. He said, how can you say it without hurting? How can you say it that it will take effect? How can you say it to show the people that you're not picking on them? That you love them.
Amen.
How can you be strict and firm and yet be loving? How are you going to present it? And then, woe unto me if I don't present it.
Amen.
See, and there you are. No wonder it keeps you nervous and tore up. If anybody thinks that it's easy to stand and preach against sin, wickedness and evil in this day and age in which we live. Folks, it's awful hard to say anything, anytime, to any crowd without it hurting somebody.
Yes. Amen.
And people say, well, you could have got by without saying that. How?
Yes.
Either we ministers are being led by God, and what we're saying is either true or false. Now, you, it may not be for you, but you know, I find it out this, the one that usually does the most complaining is the one that hits the hardest.
Amen.
When something comes and it seems offensive to you, won't you take the attitude, you know what, God may be trying to tell me something.
Yes.
And why take it out on the preacher? I believe it was Brother Earl Martin that preached a sermon here one time, said, don't get mad at the mailman because he brings you your bills you made.
Yeah.
He just did his job. I mean, the Silva family back there works for the post office. And I'm sure there may be some people they have to slip up there and put in a mailbox because they've been told before, don't bring me no more of them. But they never addressed it and stamped it to you. You made that bill. And you owe that bill.
Amen.
And if you committed that sin or that error or that act of unbelief in your life, and God loves you enough that he has some minister or somebody say something in the anointing of the Holy Ghost, and it hits you right between the eyes and brings you to your knees and it makes you mad, don't get mad at the messenger.
Right.
Just stop and say, you know, God loves me enough and he wants to correct me. Now, I know it's hard for us to understand. That's like Mom and Dad when they used to give me a whipping, and they'd this hurts me worse than it does you. And I'd say, well, why are you doing it then? But you know what? I can remember every whipping my daddy ever gave me. Because it was just that severe. And there's out of the six, there's three of them I didn't deserve. Now, with mother, the only ones of mothers that I remember are the ones that she gave me that Sammy should have got instead of me. And that's because I wanted to hold that against my mother for being wrong. But the rest of them I deserved, and I sort of forgot them. And I appreciate every one of them now. But the ones that mother gave me when Sammy was the one who did it, or somebody else did it, and mother blamed me for it, that one, I remembered it. I hung on to it. Brother Oral Roberts passed away, and I never got to finish what I wanted to say about him. I believe with all my heart that he and Billy Graham were two very special witnesses. Amen. That were given to this generation that I have been privileged to live, to restore things and give people an opportunity to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Whenever Billy Graham passes away, if he does, I think it'll probably be one of the most widely watched gospel services that's ever been broadcast on the history of the world. Amen. People will be given an opportunity to either accept or refuse Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Now, you and I may not see any significance to this because we don't need Billy Graham. We don't need Oral Roberts, but we need to understand that God has a plan and God has a purpose. And just as you and I and Brother Branham has a purpose and a plan, these men had one. And they were called, and I believe they were faithful in doing what they did. It's like I was close to Brother Carl Williams. He was a member of the Full Gospel Businessmen. And there were people in this message that knew Brother Carl, and they kept asking him, why don't you get out of that? Why don't you fool around with those guys? But you know, Carl Williams fulfilled something for this bride. Just like the man who came and got the body of Jesus off of the cross. He fulfilled something. Peter, John, James, Mark, none of them could have gone and got the body from Pilate. But that man went and got it. And history tells us now that he was a brother to Joseph, the husband of Mary. He was a wealthy man. He was in politics. He was an uncle to Jesus in the natural. But he went and got the body from Pontius Pilate, Joseph of Arimathea. Well, Carl Williams, I always looked at him as a man like that. We would not have 151 sermons of Brother Branham's today if Carl Williams had not kept the door open for him in Phoenix. And I had the privilege to travel the world with Brother Carl Williams, and I know what he did. He opened the door for me to give my testimony to people who would have never heard it if he hadn't opened the door. But you look at him and you say, well, Carl did this and he didn't do that and he didn't do... But you know what? He fulfilled the plan that God had for him in his life. Amen. Even if he'd have been healthy and didn't have arthritis the way he did. Brother Bram said he wouldn't have been able to do what he did. He even suffered that so that he could fulfill the place that God had for Carl Williams in this world. But we're so quick to look at somebody else. Well, they're not just like us. They don't say it just like we say it. They don't believe it just like we believe it. Well, are you so sure you're right in everything that you want to condemn others and put them out? And you see, that's a place in the predicament I sort of find myself right now. These experiences that I've had the last few years, I've called them angelic experiences. I was forced for my own sanity to look in the scriptures. Because Brother Branham said, anything that happens, we got to find it in here. We got to find it in the Bible. It's got to be in the Word. That's like, it's like when people came along and they were having oil appear in their hands and so forth. Brother Branham said, you know, I'm not gonna say anything against that, but he said, I don't find it in the scriptures. So you never heard Brother Branham, but you never heard him make fun of it like I've heard some make fun of it, call it the Pure Oil Company. You know what? I'm not those brothers' judge. But I don't find anything like that in the scriptures. But I believe that anything that God did in the Bible, he's the same today. And if he did it yesterday, he'll do it forever. If he ever did it this way one time, he'll do it that way again. Now, I also heard Brother Branham say that when he talked about the citrus fruit up here at Brother Sherrod's farm in Phoenix, he talked about all the different fruits that had been grafted onto either a grapefruit or an orange tree, and there's the tangerines and the lemons and all of them, if they were citrus fruits. And he talked about there was about seven different fruits on one tree. But if the tree ever put forth another branch, it would be like the roots. And so Brother Branham says, in truth of that example, he says that if the church ever puts out another branch, it'll be like the book of Acts. And I think there should be a book of Acts being written now. That's the reason that I believe in prayer clause. Acts 19:12. And for somebody to come along and say, we don't need them. Well, it's not important. Well, it was important in the book of Acts. Now, if you take the book of Acts and you take out two subjects, you got a book that's a full of holes. You can't make sense out of it. One is the resurrection. Anybody who says they don't believe the resurrection, well, what have you got left in the book of Acts but a bunch of holes? What was it that made the disciples, the people that they were frightened and afraid, like Peter was, that he, a little 18-year-old maiden backed him down and he cursed it. I don't know the man. Denied the Lord three times. But a few days later, he stood up in front of them all. He said, you men, you with wicked hands, you've taken the most precious one there ever was. And you've done it in the most holy city, among the most religious people. And you've given him, crucified him, the most terrible death when he was the most righteous one you've ever known. Amen. And he wasn't afraid. But what made Peter that way? He had experienced the resurrection. He got the same revelation Job got. Though God slay me, yet I'll trust him. If they do kill me, I'll rise again. He got the same revelation Abraham had about Isaac. If I kill him, God will raise him from the dead because his word says he's going to do certain things. It's important that you and I believe in the resurrection. And if you believe in the resurrection, then why can't you believe in divine healing? When you deny divine healing, you're saying you don't believe he created it. You don't believe that he's the giver of all things and the giver of life. Now, the second thing, the subject, if you take it out of the book of Acts, you leave holes in it. And that's angels. Now, in this message, we've left angels out of it. And I have some things to tell you from some experiences I've had with what I believe about angels. Now, I have not seen one, but I believe in angels. Amen. I believe I have had some personal experiences with them. And before I'm through with this series, the Lord willing, I'm going to have the courage to tell you what I have experienced. There's different reasons for angels. And that's something I would like to ask you to begin to look for yourself. Now, you don't worship angels. Angels don't create. Angels have never been lost. They don't know what it is to sing Amazing Grace. But they're sent for a purpose. And if you will look in the Old Testament and the New Testament, especially around the time of the birth of Jesus, look at the parts that angels played, from the announcement of John the Baptist to his father, the announcement to Joseph, the announcement to Mary, the dreams to the wise men, the notification of Herod's death. You'll see angels played a part. But did you know that when we talk about the coming of the Lord, or the return of Jesus, or the end time, that there are prophecies concerning angels? On this subject of the different categories of what the angels do, you don't pray to an angel, because an angel can't do anything for you except assist you. And I'll go into that. But it's not his power. You go back to Daniel, and when an angel came, what he did, he just explained to Daniel what the prophet had written. Amen. And the sixfold purpose. When the angel came to Brother Branham, did that angel empower Brother Branham, or did the angel said, "I'll be with you, I'll give you power"? Brother Branham asked him questions. Why don't my brothers see this? And that angel said, "Well, don't you remember in the day of our Lord?" And Brother Branham said, "That's when I realized that that was not Jesus, but that was an angel, because he called my Lord his Lord." You understand that? You're not to worship an angel. You're not to seek an angel, because they're already here. The angel of the Lord encampeth around about those that fear him. There's joy in the presence of the angels. You entertain angels unawares. He promises the angels to take care of you. He told that to David back in Psalms 97:11. But even with Jesus in the time of temptation, Satan used that on, "Hey, cast yourself down. He said he'd give his angels charge over thee." You know, the devil believes in them. Sure. Satan believes and trembles. And we look at him and says, "Well, we don't need angels." Hey, do you know Perry Green believes an angel came to him? Well, why don't you say the same thing about Peter, Paul, James, John, Mark, Joseph, Mary, all those in the Old Testament? And Brother Branham. Listen to the words of Brother Branham. "You know I'm waiting on something. Because I'm just as helpless as you are without him." Now, if Brother Branham was helpless without the angel, how helpless do you think we are? Now, do we need them? Yes. They are prophesied. They are promised. They are part of God's plan. Yes. You following me? What good does it do for me to tell you that I've had some experience with angels if you don't believe in them? What good does it mean to try to tell you and convince you that an angel came to Brother Branham if you don't believe in him? And do you know the reason they're not with us? There's 1,067 pages of quotes on Brother Branham about angels. And he says, "You don't have angels because you don't believe in them." Second, you don't live a life that they can stand. So why aren't angels being manifested among us? We don't believe them. We don't think they're necessary. We live such an offensive life, they don't like that. Now, if I can get you as a congregation to change your attitude and read your Bible and believe what the Bible says about angels and what Brother Branham teaches about them, then you might believe what I tell you happened to me. But why tell you that I had a conversation with an angel when you don't believe it? Let me tell you the danger, folks. If I tell you that I had a conversation with one, just like I can give you about four conversations that people have, the angel said, the man said, I asked him, he referred back, and they talked with them and had conversations. If you didn't believe that, and you make fun of it, that's dangerous to you. So I'll tell you what I'm going to ask you to do. Make fun of me. But don't you make fun of what I tell you he said. Does that make everything I say right? No. But again, look at the responsibility it puts on me. Woe be unto me if I fail to tell you. When the angel told Brother Branham, tell the people to be careful how they think. Because what they think speaks louder before the throne of God than do their words. What if Brother Branham said, oh, well, now, I'm not going to tell them that. I've never heard that before. Are you glad Brother Branham was faithful? Daniel himself, a man of God, he read what Jeremiah said, and he couldn't understand it. 70 years. I've been here 68. There's two more. What does this mean? He was sincere enough about it. He sought the Lord for 21 days. And an angel came and gave him the sixfold purpose. And if you read those things, it told Daniel everything would happen from then until the end of time. When this angel came to Brother Branham, Brother Branham wanted to know, well, why don't my brothers do this? Why don't they understand this? And that's when the angel said, do you remember in the day of our Lord? And he gave him scripture. There was a time when Brother Mattson Bose and the brothers up in Chicago, they asked Brother Branham and said, Brother Branham, Brother Bill, did that angel that come to you, did he tell you to baptize in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? You know Brother Branham's answer? If he'd have told me anything else, I wouldn't have believed him. Because that's what the Scripture says. So still, what is the most important? What the Word says. If an angel had come to Brother Branham and said, it's all right to baptize Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, Brother Branham said, you're false. It didn't take the angel to tell Brother Branham that. He already had the Word. That's what I find sometimes so shocking among some of us in the message. We hear Brother Branham say something and we say, oh, it means this, when it's so contrary to whatever else he teaches. Amen. You know, and one of the most controversial subjects that we have is the tent. And this comes to mind because Johnny Green had the audacity this week to come and ask me to show him the drawing that I have said repeatedly Brother Branham made for me on a napkin about the tent. And so I just took a napkin and I drew it for him. And Johnny said, oh, it'd be awesome to have it in Brother Branham. I said, Johnny, I just showed you. You see, everybody wants to know, look, if I tell you, you don't believe it? Well, then you wouldn't believe if I showed you the piece of paper. But I told Johnny about a magazine that I'd found on an airplane in 1979 in the first class section that I don't fly. Somebody a lot richer than me had flown up there. And it showed in there, Fabulous Fabric Structures. And in there it showed pictures of these massive tents that they built at universities and so forth. And the largest one is the airport or the terminal in Saudi Arabia. It's 5 million square feet. And this has aerial photographs of some of them. And when I opened it up and looked here, well, there is a structure right there that looks almost just exactly like the one Brother Branham drew for me. Now, it's one of the smaller ones in this comparison. This one happened to be a field house at a college. But it has no poles. And when I looked at it, it looked just like what Brother Branham had drawn. It reminded me of that. Now, I tell you this. That's what it looks like, and I'll show you a picture. But how many of you still want to see the napkin? Why, don't you believe me? Huh? I could take a napkin and draw lines on it and tell you that's what it was, and it wouldn't even be that one. But I'm telling you as a witness, this is what it looked like. Now, I don't know anybody else that Brother Bram said these words to, as he said them to me in August of 1965. He said to me, he said, "Brother Green, I don't know what my tent vision means." How many of you believe that? You believe he said that to me? I want you to know I was shocked. I can take it and show you where I was sitting when he said that. I said, Brother Branham, you've talked to some brothers about what they're going to do, driving the trucks and so on. He said, "I know, Brother Green. Brother so and so has come and asked me this and so on." And he named them off. And he said, "But I believe the same God that gave me the vision will show me what every brother's supposed to do when that time comes. When he fulfills it. But I don't know what it means." And he mentioned about the telephone hookup I had, the lines running across America. And then he said, "Brother Green, I believe there's a place in that tent for you." I said, "Well, I sure hope so." He said, "That could have been you on the platform." Well, I didn't know enough about tent vision then to know anything about a man on the platform. But you know, at the end of the vision, there was an older man walked out on the platform and said, "Well, now, Brother Branham is still resting, and what is that? We'll go on, we'll have meetings." Well, later on in years, when I got enough about it to read the tent vision and saw it and so forth, and I always thought that's Brother Sidney Jackson or somebody much older and everything else, you know. But you know what? I look at it now, and I'm getting to be old enough. I look at it because of this thing I had, this thought I had the other day about having all of the older ministers over 75 to come together sometime this year here in Tucson and having a convention. Because, you know, if Brother Branham had his choice, he said he'd have chose the year 75 and older to minister.
Right.
Where a lot of the younger ones think we're senile and forgetful and... But when I started making lists, there's only 12 or 14 of us. Brother Vail, Brother McHughes, Brother Bernie, Brother Frank, myself, Brother Coleman, Brother Gunther, Brother Ungren. You get to counting us. Brother Carpenter, we're 75 to 90 years old. No, Brother Vail, 94, I think. 95. Okay, thanks for the correction. 1 year makes a difference, I guess, you're that age, doesn't it? But, you know, I personally believe that was a thought from the Lord. And so far, all of them that I've talked to have said they'd do their best to come.
Amen.
But I'd like to have all of us brothers together. Now, is that the fulfillment of any vision? No, only a burden I've got. I'd just like to see all the brothers in unity together.
Amen. Yes.
I don't think anybody could accuse any of us of wanting to have anything special to build a kingdom. We're all too old for that now. There shouldn't be any jealousy among us. We've lived our lives. We've raised our families. We've had our churches, our ministry. We know that as far as our health is concerned, it's setting. But you know what? Some of us could be around for a body change. And so you just pray, I got strength enough and courage enough to do it. Some of them will have to pay their way. Some of them, they may not come. They may not want to. But you know what? That doesn't mean that none of the rest of us should do it. So far, everyone I've talked to said they would. What a day that'll be.
Amen.
When you talk to all of them, they've all had some kind of an experience with God. They've heard an audible voice. They believe that God came to them, has instructed them and kept them, guided them, healed them, protected them. And that brings me back to the subject of what all do you know that angels has done? I think they've been of assistance to people. In the Old Testament, it was always, I'll send my angel before thee. Or they will be there to follow thee. That's the pillar of fire before the children of Israel and the cloud. And you know, Brother Branham often refers to the pillar of fire in Houston as the angel of the Lord. And if you listen to Peter's sermons, when Peter preaches about Moses, he said, he saw the angel of the Lord in the bush. It wasn't a man or a figure, a human being or wings or halos. There was a pillar of fire. There was a consuming fire. Peter mentions it three times in that sermon. But where did the believers in the early church start believing in angels? You see, there was 500 of them on the Mount of Olives the day that Jesus ascended into heaven. And standing over the side was two men dressed in white. Why don't we read that verse of Scripture? John chapter 20, verse 12. And seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head. No, I'm sorry. This was at the tomb. I'll show these things to you because I want you to know that people in the early church, all through the Old Testament, even through the birth of Jesus and the resurrection of Jesus, they all believed in angels. They saw two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had laid. Now, the early church believed that enough that John wrote that and put it in our Bible. How many of you believe that they saw angels? Then, you know, on the day of the ascension, there was two men dressed in white that they saw, that nobody believed them to be men. But they began to believe, because of what Jesus said, that angels played a part. Now, I guess what I need to do this morning is to take just the last 10 or 15 minutes here and give you the scriptures where it's prophesied that angels will be here now in the day in which you and I live. Would you look with me at Matthew 13, 39? The enemy that sold them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. Didn't Jesus give a parable about the sowers and the reapers? And he comes along and he identifies them. It's the end of the world. The devil had sowed the harvest, but the reapers are the angels. Let's look at verse 41. And the Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity. Now, when is that to happen? at the end time. He's going to send angels together. Look at verse 49. Now, I'd like for you to go back and read the whole chapter. And so shall it be at the end of the world, the angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just. Now, is that a prophecy by Jesus? That angels are going to be a part of the end time? They're going to come and gather and sever. Let's look at Matthew chapter 16, verse 27. For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of His Father, all alone. No, it says with His angels. And then He shall reward every man according to his works. Let's look at chapter 24, verse 31. And He shall send His angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together His elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Who's going to come get you for the rapture? Let me recall to you who went down to Sodom to get Lot's family out. A couple of angels. Would you look at chapter 25, verse 31? And when the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, are they going to be here at the end time? Find me a place where it talks about the Lord coming in the Gospels that the angels are not with Him. Now, what's going to happen to people who don't believe in angels? They don't believe they have any part to do with it. Look at Mark chapter 13, verse 27. And then shall He send His angels and shall gather together elect from the four winds, from the uttermost part of the earth to the uttermost part of heaven. Look at Luke chapter 15, verse 10. This one I threw in there just for good measure. Likewise, I say unto you, there's joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Amen. I'm going to tell you, folks, the reason sometimes churches are dry and cold and no joy is because they've made the angels unwelcome. Amen. If we start believing in angels, living a life that they can stand to be around, we'll have more joy. Because that's what the Scripture says. Now, one other attribute you need to see here, and that's Luke chapter 4, verse 10. Another reason why we need them. For it is written, now if you want to know where it's written, it's Psalms 91, 11. Where it was written by David the psalmist, He shall give His angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. Now, that wasn't written just for Jesus. That was written to start off with because that's what an angel of God told David. I don't believe that God is a respecter of person, that He will give His servants in the Old Testament, or He will give His servants like Joseph and Mary and Zacharias, and He will give His servants Peter, Paul, James, John, protection that He doesn't give you and I. How many times have we heard somebody give testimony that there was an accident and something supernatural happened? Micah Bennett, stand to your feet. When you were 8 years old, what happened to you, son? You fell out of a tree. And to this day, you say an angel caught you. You've told your parents that all your life. A little boy, 8 years old. Thank you, Michael. How many of you other people have had an experience where you wondered? I think of Sister Hope Sanchez when she was in federal prison. Now, one came to her and told her where the window would be and how she'd get out and look for the flower pot and how she went and how the fence opened up and she walked out and how one helped her get on the airplane in Dallas. And I believe that.
Amen.
How many blessings have we failed to recognize because we didn't believe in the presence of angels?
Yes.
Now, if we are a New Testament church, then we're going to have a book of Acts written behind us.
Yes.
And I look forward, I thought I'd get it today, but at 12 o'clock I've got to quit. The next time I preach the Lord, I'm going to talk to you about angels in the book of Acts. Because there wasn't any of them expecting them, but they were there anyway. And it tells us about people who believe in them and who don't believe in them. You see, the Sadducees didn't believe in angels or spirits or the resurrection, but the Pharisees did.
Right.
And Paul, one time in a jam, he realized he had both groups out there, and he stood and said, "I'm a Sadducee, but I believe..." And he said what the Pharisees believed. And that caused them to beat each other, so he got away. He had the wisdom of the Lord. How many of you today will say, "Brother Green, I believe in angels. I believe in the resurrection of the dead. I believe in divine healing. I believe the Lord's coming. I believe the angels are going to be with Him. I'm going to start looking for them. I'm going to live a life that they're not going to be offended. I'm going to repent whenever I do offend them. I'm going to look for the joy of the Lord in my heart." Because angels are standing around these walls this morning. They're standing in miles and they're saying, "Come on, Brother Green, preach it. Tell them, Brother Green, preach it. Tell them how real we are. Tell them we're here to help them. We're not their enemies." What did angels do to Jesus? They came and ministered to Him. What does Paul tell them in Hebrews 1, verse 14? They came to minister to us. You want to know when you need help, who God sends to help you? But if you don't believe in them, poor guy. Do you understand the simplicity of it? That once you start believing in them, you start recognizing it, and you see more and more and more of it, and it's like following the leadership of the Holy Ghost, and I can almost hear somebody say, "I don't need angels, I got the Holy Ghost." Angels would teach you the truth of the angels. I mean, the Holy Ghost would teach you the truth of the angels. Read the book of Acts. Find how many people were blessed when they recognized angels. Look at Paul on board the ship when he told the captain, "Don't let anybody get off from here, sir. The ship will be lost, but not a one of us lose our life, because this night I had an angel stand by me." That man believed Paul. And he had no right to believe him. I believe God. I believe I've given you enough scriptures to show you that Jesus taught that at the end time, angels will play a part. Then I'm going to ask you this to our shame. Why haven't we allowed them to be here? I'll be honest with you. Whenever I started saying, "All right, Lord, that's you. Okay, Lord, I'm going to believe that that was your angel." And I started believing it. It has started occurring more often. And these things that I read about 2012 and the Mayans and the pyramids and all that, and you look at it and it gets so complicated, then I stop and I say, "Lord, what is it?" It becomes so simple. Whatever, I stop trying to figure it out. And I find that's exactly what Brother Bram did with the seals. Do I believe there's to be somebody else to come to reveal additional word? No, I do not. But I think that those same angels that help Brother Branham understand it will be the same angels that help you and I understand it and will bring it to pass in our lives. I appreciate God, don't you?
Amen.
And the simplicity of it. Without a doubt, he says, I'll send them. I'll come with them. There'll be a shout. I'll do this. I'll do that. Why do we want to doubt it? Now, I could tell you how many times angels are mentioned in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. It's mentioned more times in Revelation than any other place. But there's several sets of them. There's the seven angel messengers and the seven vials and the seven this and the three here and the other angel and this angel. And we'll try to get into all that. But you know what? We're so busy trying to figure out what all this means and we fail to recognize they're here with us now.
Yes.
Heavenly Father, I appreciate you this morning. May the angel of the Lord go with you. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Heavenly Father,